Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is the Leo Effect.
So you finally made a name for yourself. Congratulations. But how do you get your name out to the world? Turn to WorldStar PR. The caring, honest, and invested team at WorldStar PR will get you maximum exposure through podcasts, TV, radio, amazing press releases, and red carpet events. They'll ensure that you are worldwide. Jimmy Starr, entertainment guru, and Eileen Shapiro, rock star journalist, will give you the world. So come join the likes of legendary actor Ron Russell, iconic musicians Scott Page and Fred Schneider, world-class designer Sue Wong, TV personality Mickey Burns, and so many more. Check them out on Facebook or on their website, jimmystarsworld.com/WorldStarPR. WorldStar PR, where the world revolves around you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Leo Effects. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. We've talked to a few other members of the band Revolution, and today we're going to talk to the artist and the video maker behind it all. And I'd like to introduce you all to my guest for this evening, Olga. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. Hi.
Hello. I'm good. Great. That's awesome to hear. Everything going pretty well, given the whole quarantining and all of that?
Oh, it's nothing really changed for us, for artists. Everything is good, regardless.
Good.
Quarantine and everything, yeah.
Good, and you're staying healthy and good to go?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Perfect. Still putting out that good creative content. That's what I like.
Yes.
All right. Well, I got a few questions for you if you think you'd like to give me a few answers.
Yes, of course. Yes. What's your question?
All right. Well, let's jump into this. So what was it that got you started in the world of music?
The music, was in my life since I was five. My parents put me through classical school education, 7 years of schooling, 2 hours playing piano a day. And, you know, when parents forced it on children, it was good, but not when I was a child. But time goes, and finally I married a musician, and I didn't play through the life. I got other hobbies. I got fed up with music for 7 years straight, God.
Wow.
And when I got in a chemical engineering college, when I went to medical school, so I never thought about music as anything. I just didn't have time. And when I married Frank, he didn't know I play piano. We lived together 16 years.
Wow. Years,
and he didn't know I play. Once he bought himself a new keyboard, and he was dragging through my studio the other one, and I said, leave it in my room if you don't need it. And when he come back, like a few hours after that, I was playing.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, you really playing like that? I said, I told you, I told him I play piano, but not without any details. And he said, I'm looking for a keyboard player in my band, and you're sitting here saying nothing. I said, okay, let's try. Because I never played rock and roll. It was highly prohibited in my school during the classical studying classical music. It was prohibited for us to improvise or play any pop songs, you know.
Mm.
So he have to teach me from beginning how it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that the Beatles was a big influence for you. Was there a particular song that drew you into that?
Oh, you know, I had older brothers. So when I was about 7 years old, Beatles came in, went in my life just like a bomb, because we were playing it constantly all the time. And I was a kid. And my parents hated it. Everybody hated it in the Soviets that time, because Beatles represent something different. I basically knew by memory all the songs, all the lyrics. I just couldn't understand English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so as a child, I kind of learned everything by ear. And I was trying to play some songs when my parents couldn't hear me. Yeah, it was big. And when I moved there in the States, and when I learned English, one day I was by accident put the radio in my car when I was driving, and it was Beatles, and I realized I understand everything. It was like 50 years later.
Hello.
And they came back.
Was it different? And when you understood the words,
it was kind of magic, because you know, when you're a child and you singing some songs and language you don't understand, but you kind of singing together and you pronounce the words, you really don't know. When I realized how wrong it's printed in my memory, some words in an awkward combination, but it was like a miracle. It was something like, wow, like a gift. It was very interesting.
That's cool.
And I started doing movies for him before even I played in a band. He started first Delta Blue Blood. He played with local guys, and he asked me to do a couple movies for them, and it went great. So when he started his own band, Revolution, I was a primary video maker.
Mm.
And I like it because he gives me the song, he gives me lyric, and he doesn't direct me. He just say, do whatever you want. That's what I like about his. Yeah, he doesn't tell me what to do. And that's, I have cool. Full whatever I want.
Yeah, and you do some really, really great videos. They're pretty wild to watch.
I'm not like some professional video maker. I just do what I can, not what I want really, but just what I can, and I'm trying hard. I like animation, I like funny stuff, I like make it funny.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, and the best part, I was doing videos for some other bands, but we always want something particular, and even it doesn't suit or I don't like it, I have to still do it. So now I do it only for Frank. And gotcha. I like it because when I do something for money, it doesn't come out with good.
Well, you had talked about it just a minute ago, how you went to medical school and you didn't really have time for music and all of that. If it's okay, I'd like to talk about that part of your life a little bit.
You can... You cannot operate on both sides of a brain. You know, when you go straight logic and then science, because I was doing my PhD, when you walk on our side, like science, medicine, chemistry, engineering, you become different person. You're not that creative, particularly because it's just science, it's laws and rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard to switch. I never had anything for myself, just work, study, colleges, achievements, career, money. That was it.
Wow.
Because in Russia, it was very good money. I had good position. I was teaching in medical school. And it was it. That was it.
Well, what made you decide to come and move to America and leave that behind?
You know, when you live in a country and you kind of believe how world operates, and because we were locked up, we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't see any other countries. We were locked up. We were highly brainwashed, and we didn't know we were brainwashed because we have one person news, propaganda, everything, and everything knows only one part. And first time I went out of a country, I was 33. And I realized, oh, my God. So I was planning to get out. I was planning to get out. And in the 90s, my country just collapsed. We had kind of like civil war. It was so bad. Everything got ruined. The Belgrade. It was like in Chicago in the 30s.
Right, right.
Mafia. And, oh, God. So I decided, gee, I took my daughter one bag and I left.
Wow.
I was, I was traveling around the world looking for some place to stay, and then finally I got to the States, and I said, that's it, that will be the country.
Did you, when you moved here, did you continue your medical career at first?
No, I was fed up with medical work. I was really fed up. I was really fed up because after putting my time so many years in medical school, I realized it's not all right what we taught us.
There
is something more in it, because I don't want to be like a push-up dealers for a big pharma. Because they tell you what to give a person, they regulate you, you cannot give what you want, what you think, and it was like, I was fed up. Before I moved out of the country, I learned programming. I took a very short but intensive course of programming, C++, Unix, and when I came here, I was a beginner programmist, and I found a good job in corporate America, so I had a different career totally. Wow. I was in the telecommunication for 7 years straight. It was a good job. It was okay. So I was continue to live my life like in Russia. Achievements, career, money. And then I met a musician, some bohemian guitar player, and everything collapsed in a good way. In a good way. He was watching me. We were married for 4 years, and he was watching me hard work. I was always upset, always irritated. I had 47 people to deal with every day. And it was big company, 75,000 employees, and just was very stressful job. And he told me one day, he said, how long are you going to be here? I said, until they kick me out, when I am like 65 and retired. He said, look, you have to try to do something for yourself. Wow, what it is. And he pushed me to the art school. He pushed me to the art school because art school, art, particularly the painting, that was my dream when I was a child. But my parents, my whole family, they were chemical engineers. So I had no way to choose what I want. They said, we're chemical engineers, and you're going to be chemical engineer. Go ahead, and that's it. And they were good parents, so I decided, well, I knew some people, artists. They didn't do really well in Russia during communist. And I realized, yeah, maybe we're right. And then I went to art school. I was 46 when I started. I went to sculpting. I was studying everything I could, and it really turned me on.
Wow.
Yeah, I was sculpting, and I realized by going through sculpting class, I'm a natural sculptor. I never knew that about myself. I never tried. I never wanted. And the class was open. It was available. And from day one, I walk in a class, and the teacher said, what do you want? What do you want to do? I said, I don't care. Whatever you guys do, I'll do. And I realized I can sculpt with my closed eyes because I'm achieved a piano player, you know, and I'm a surgeon, and all my life was on the tips of my fingers. So I have such a connection between my fingertips and my brain, and it's all you need when you sculpt.
Wow.
God, it was so good. And it got too easy to me after 6-7 years. I even have some public sculpture in Monterey Bay. My teacher and me, we did a big memorial for Canary Row divers who built the Canary Row. So it was good. But then I quit because I want to oil. I want to paint with oil. Took me 12 years.
Oh, okay.
12 years. So I switched. I totally switched. When I came in your country, I totally switched to different things. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy because, you know, when you work as a doctor, it's a very responsible job. I agree it's a good job, and it's good living, good money. So you can't just go away because it's all you know. And when you start thinking, God, is it all my life? I was born to be a doctor and die as a doctor?
Yeah.
What is this about? And it took me a while to just get out of the field. Now I'm free. I'm free. I'm creating. Frank has successful business. I'm helping him with his financial stuff. But most of the time, I just do what I want. I just published a book in Russia last month, and I'm translating it in English right now. It's kind of a medical discovery I did.
Oh, wow.
On my own. Yeah, I have my own podcast over Russia for last years. I have over 60,000 subscribers. So I do a lot of stuff all day. Even like I don't work in the office from 9 to 5, but I work like 10, 12 hours a day doing different stuff, painting, sculpting, video, podcast, radio, and other stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, you're just all over the place.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do, because I want to try myself everywhere. I tried everything. I took singing classes. Now I want to start drumming, not for a career, you know, but for fun, because when you study something new, the brain really flourishing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you can't stay in one field all life because it's become boring, and I guess brain shrink in a way.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about doing oil paintings. Do you do like still life, or do you do portraits?
I don't do. I'm my podcast over Russia is psychedelic plants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was studying psychedelics for 10 years when I already lived here. I got through all those psychedelics plants first because of curiosity, when I realized it's medicine. It's ancient medicine, and it really, really works, because I cure few conditions which could not be cured with just regular medicine. It was really a big surprise. That's why I studied it. And after 10 years of studying it, reading, trying on myself, talking with other people, I finally opened this psychedelic plant podcast. And my paintings are kind of continuation of that.
Gotcha. And like, do you sell any of your works of art, or do you keep them as a personal thing?
No, I keep it for myself. For money, I paint a lot of portraits. I was trained by a very well-known portraitist of America. He died already. He was an older guy. He finished the best school in New York in the 50s, and he was classically trained portraitist. And for some reason, since I was a child, I just want to paint hands and faces. I don't know, it just was like a print in my head. And when I found that guy, and he was my teacher for years, he taught me, because the face is the hardest thing you can paint. If you can paint face, you have no trouble with anything. I do regularly portrait art show. Like, I take one city, I paint 30, 40, 50 people, and then I do the show. Oh. We just come back from Wisconsin when my husband do annually musical festival in Wisconsin, and I painted 30 people from Park Falls. I brought all the portraits, and we had a great party. When people see their paintings, like, whole town. And I do it so I don't lose my skills, because I paint 12 years, I don't paint much anymore. I achieved the level I wanted. And I didn't paint to be an art dealer. It's completely different thing. I don't want to promote it. I don't want to do gallery showing. It's not a career. And when I learned to paint to the level I saw in my head for so many years, I stopped. Because it was just a curiosity, how did they do that? I don't want to do all of those arts I do for money. It's just not why I do it. For money, we have a great business. We make a bunch of money. I don't have to sell my paintings. And I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to come in the gallery and say, oh, please take my paintings. And they're going to say, oh, we like horses, flowers, ballerines, happy children. Forget it. No.
I like it.
Can do it, and somebody else who enjoy it. But no, it's not for money. It's not. It's different things. Gotcha. I realized I was painting. I was selling a lot of my paintings, and I was paying a lot of commissions And I realized, why would I do it? Why would I spend so much time paying somebody's ideas, even though I'm not enjoying it? Because everything, when it's connected to money, you're losing it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
It's just for me, because for so many years, I was doing what I have to. Now yeah. It's my time to do what I want. We don't have a lot of time here in this reality, and timer is ticking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just be in the office just to try to survive. No, not anymore.
Yeah.
And well, the first half, yeah.
You've got, like, lots of words of wisdom here. Do you have any particular piece of advice that you would give to an artist or musician that was just starting out?
Advice is only one. You have to do it all the time. Because when I was painting 12 hours a day straight for 12 years. And when you want it or you don't, you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid it. If you do it and you do it with passion, you do it every day, every day, every day. And when you're good, you can't avoid it. You can learn anything. If somebody already did it, a human, you can do it. You can do it too. It's a matter of how good you think you are, but you cannot judge your work. And finally, when you reach the level, everybody say, oh, it's so great, it's so great. You're like, don't even care. But really, you can learn anything. It will take 5-7 years and you're going to be a pro in anything. I went for so many professions during my life. And first I was thinking, why I cannot stick to one profession and just get the great results and be on the top. I kind of got it in medicine, but when I got on the top, it was very boring. Mm-hmm. I was working at one point in the Ministry of Healthcare. Oh, that was just sitting on the meetings day and night and boring.
That's can imagine.
Yeah, and on those meetings, what I did, I was drawing everybody who was sitting around. That was only fun.
Well, I just want to take this last little bit here of the show and ask you if you have any social media pages that the listeners can go check you out.
I have a website. I don't update it anymore. It's studioolga.com. But I have a page on Facebook. It's my art page, and it's Olga Perry Art.
Olga Perry Art. Okay.
It's my Facebook page, and I update it frequently. But it's not kind of for I don't have to promote anything, because when last week when we were doing Wisconsin show, art show, a lot of people commissioned me. I want to paint me that. I will pay you great money. No, forget it. That's why I don't don't run very carefully my website. I put some paintings there for sale, but it's not because I want to sell.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I got lucky because right on my art career, I was selling a lot. I was a programmer, and then in the beginning of this century, not many people knew internet and not many people could build website. So I was probably only artist who had a website among maybe 50 people around the world. And I started selling my stuff crazy to Italy, Germany, Cyprus, all over. I was in 200 galleries all over the world. Even that time, I was just studying and was not even a good artist. I was selling like crazy. They even didn't drive very well, very well, because internet was something new. It was something really new. Right now, every artist has a website. It's so much, so many. You have to have, you will spend several months to find and look on all artists who exhibit their work online. But at that time, nobody had website, no artists. We just didn't get to internet yet.
Right. Okay.
But I was internet person in 95 already because of my work.
Yeah.
And when website builders come out, I was first one to do it. It was so, I was amused with computers, you know. Computers is my love as well. I remember doing my PhD degree in Soviets and it was 83. Yeah. I started in 84 and I was doing it for 4 years, and I had electric, how you call it, say in English, typewriter.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was so hard. You have to sit 6 months. You have to live 6 months in a library and go through all these medical journals and read it and spend so much time. Right now, with one click, you can get all information. So when internet popped out, wow, I was amazed. And computer was my second love after art.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking to me. You're such an amazing person, and you're doing such amazing things with your podcast and your art and the videos for Revolution. Like, you're doing great work.
You know, Ray, we have to amuse ourselves, because nobody gonna come and make us happy. That's our job. That's why we came here, to make ourselves happy and find something we really, really like. Until our time expires.
That is so true. So true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in today to check out this interview. Make sure to click the links and follow along on Olga's social media. And make sure to go to revolution.com and check that out. You're going to want to hear the band. They're really, really good. I enjoy them. And you will too. So thank you all very much. And we'll see you next time.
All right.
Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.